You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered.
Listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Kim Hahn.
And I'm Erin Wager-Miller. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, May 13th, 2019.
We have the type of corporate support that we receive from our business community here that said, like, hey, this is something that we want to exist and that we know provides a value to our community. We're seeing a significant return on our investment when we give to Cardinal Stage or to Lotus or to all these other arts organizations.
Later in the program, WFHB correspondent Michael Glab speaks with Gabe Glodin, Managing Director of Cardinal Stage Company, about their upcoming season. That's coming up later in the program on today's edition of Big Talk Extra with Michael Glab.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Kathy Pratt talks about volunteering for Monroe County Meals on Wheels on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, your daily headlines.
Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill is in Bloomington this afternoon. Hill was invited to speak at the Monroe County Public Library by local Republican group, the Grassroots Conservatives. Hill is expected to speak at the library at 7 this evening. Grassroots Conservatives organizer Robert Hall says the organization invited the state attorney general to share his accomplishments.
Curtis Hill has a lot of accomplishments as attorney general, and he is running for re-election next year. And we wanted to bring him in so people could hear what he has accomplished so far and be able to ask him questions. He was one of the largest vote-getters in the 2016 election, getting more votes than any other elected official in Indiana history. So he's been conservative, and he's been standing up for conservative principles, and we wanted to meet him in person.
Hill is the first Black attorney general in state history. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb and fellow state Republicans have called on Hill to resign from the state's highest law enforcement position. Hill is accused by four women, including a Democratic lawmaker, of repeatedly groping them at the end of the legislative session party early last year. Hill denies the allegation and has retained legal counsel. Indiana Lawyer reports the House of the Attorney General has spent over $29,000 taxpayer dollars in legal fees. Hall says the grassroots conservatives aren't concerned with the sexual assault and harassment allegations leveled at tonight's speaker.
We are aware of those accusations, but no criminal charges have been filed against him. So it's not a problem for us because they were just accusations, and that happens a lot in politics now. So we think he's a great guy, and we want to hear what he has to say.
A state-appointed special prosecutor declined to charge Hill last year, citing insubstantial evidence in the groping allegations. The Indiana Supreme Court Disciplinary Commission filed an ethics complaint against Hill in March. It found to have violated ethical boundaries by that five-person committee. Hill could face debarment. Hill is the guest speaker for tonight's meeting of the Grassroots Conservatives. The meeting begins at 7 at the Monroe County Public Library in downtown Bloomington.
President Donald Trump nominated former Indiana Republican Congressman Todd Rokita to the Amtrak Board of Directors last week. The Associated Press reports Rokita has repeatedly voted to eliminate public funding for Amtrak. Trump's announcement comes after the Indiana legislature eliminated funding for an Indianapolis to Chicago route in this year's budget bill. The last train along that route will run on June 30th. Rokita was formerly a representative in Indiana's Northern 4th Congressional District. He stepped down from that position to run for the U.S. Senate seat formerly held by Joe Donnelly. Rokita lost a contentious primary battle in that race to Senator Mike Braun in an election that garnered national headlines due to its character attacks and political stunts. Rokita formally served on the House Transportation Committee during his 8 years in Congress. The Rail Passengers Association, which advocates for commuter rail, announced their opposition to Trump's nomination of Rokita for the Amtrak Board of Directors yesterday. If appointed, Rokita could serve for 5 years on the nation's largest commuter rail service.
America's newest national park is now accepting reservations. The Indiana Dunes National Park was established earlier this year, in February, after northern Indiana politicians introduced a rider on the omnibus spending bill during the federal government shutdown. The 15,000 acres of protected lakeshore along the southern end of Lake Michigan has since seen an increase in tourism and visitors due to the designation. The National Park Service announced they're implementing a reservation system at the country's 61st National Park. Under the system, half the park's campsites will be held for reservations, while the other half will still be first come, first serve. Reservations can be made on the National Park Service website beginning on Wednesday. Camping in Indiana's only national park began in April and lasts until October.
Tomorrow begins the first of 3 days of the Bloomington Black E. Brown Arts Festival. This is the second year of the annual festival, which is sponsored by city departments. Gavin Everett is the Commission on Hispanic and Latino Affairs chair for the city of Bloomington. He's also an organizer for the event.
This started as a collaboration between a couple of members at the city and myself for a way to provide a space for artists to collaborate, specifically artists of color. And we kind of tried to model this after the Atlanta Black Arts Expo and as well an event down in Houston, Texas that featured art and artists from our local artists in the community. We started it last year with a 4-hour window. We just wanted to provide a space for our artists to collaborate and showcase their art, as well to help create dialogue and continuity through the year so it lasted more than just for a 4-hour window.
This year's festival, which Everett says aims to highlight and showcase African, Hispanic, Latinx, and Native American artists, takes place over 3 days. Tomorrow's kickoff begins with a block party outside of the Ivy Tech Waldron Arts Center. On Friday, the festival will highlight artists' work in the Waldron Gallery, and Saturday's events will take place at the Banneker Community Center. Everett encourages all community members to come to tomorrow's block party.
Tomorrow's festival is going to be a great time. The weather is going to be great, so you can come out and bring the family. It's for all ages. There should be food trucks out there. There's going to be some dancers popping out for the music. We're going to have 4 or 5 acts performing. It's going to be a great time. And like I say, it's free for the community. It goes from 5:30 to 10:30. And you should totally come out and check this out. It's the kickoff to the Black E. Brown Arts Festival, and we have more programming throughout the week.
More information on the Black E. Brown Arts Festival can be found on the City of Bloomington's Facebook page. WFHB is a co-sponsor of the festival. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Kim Hahn.
And I'm Erin Wagermiller. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Gabe Glodin is the managing director of the Cardinal Stage Company and joined host Michael Glab for a chat last week. Last month, Cardinal Stage Company announced its 2019 to 2020 schedule, including some classic and compelling plays. The conversation continues on today's edition of Big Talk Extra.
Now, let us talk about Cardinal Stage Company
and
the upcoming season. Just last month, you announced the lineup, five big productions. But there are other productions too, right? We'll go over. First, let's talk about these five big productions.
Our main stage series, yeah.
I'm going to read these off and you're going to fill in the rest.
Yep.
September 5th, The Great Gatsby. That runs through September 22nd. After that, Disney's Newsies from December 12th through the 29th. Then The Roommate, January 30th through February 16th. The penultimate, Ada and the Engine, March 26th through April 11th. And then you close it all out with Hedwig and the Angry Inch, June 11th through June 28th. That's the main stage production lineup.
Correct.
What else is there?
We also, we've been running a Cardinal for Kids or a Theater for Young Audiences series for many years now. It's going on almost a decade now, our Cardinal for Kids series. And these are theater experiences for the youngest of audiences. And we have two shows in that
About
series.
About what age?
Pre-K through, I'd say, middle elementary is typical. Okay. Depends on the show and the subject matter. We try to always do one show in that series that's for the little kids. So you can bring your three-year-olds on up.
Do they sit through an entire production?
The magic of this series and these shows is not only are they short, they're only 60 minutes long. So you're
60?
Really 60.
Yeah, 6-0, so, 1 hour.
6-0, one hour or 60 minutes. So not only are you not testing their patience sitting down, but they're also incredibly fast-paced, fun, funny. There's always something going on stage. And it's kind of fostering an environment where they can feel free to, like, laugh out loud, talk to the actors if they want to say something. You know, they're not shows where you as an adult, if you're sitting in the audience full with a room full of kids, are going to be upset that they're interrupting the experience.
Quiet.
and we don't want theater to be that. I mean, theater is it runs the spectrum. You know, like there are definitely, I love a good drama where you sit there and you stroke your chin and you take it all in, and then you talk about it afterwards. And then I love like our kids shows. You see these young kids show up for these shows, and they are so receptive. They're the best audiences in a lot of ways, because if it's a really good show, they give it back to you, and they're screaming and they're laughing. And if it's a bad show, they are telling you it's a bad show. We had a preview performance of a kid's show last season that where a section of the show was going a little slower than normal, and I remember there was like a probably 7-year-old, 8-year-old kid in like the center of the audience that just put his head back at one point and goes, "Oh, I'm so bored," like really loud. And
I've never done that in the theater. I don't
know. Right? As an adult, you don't do that. You might have been in the theater and wanted to do that.
Yes, yeah.
And you're like, man, Jacob, you go. That's awesome. You get to do that. And you better believe, like, immediately the director and the designers, they're like, yep, gotta tighten that section of the show up, you know? They've responded to it.
Pure feedback.
Yep. Yep. So this coming Cardinal for Kids series we're doing in October, we're bringing back a production of Charlotte's Web that we're really excited about. And I had not read or seen Charlotte's Web since I was a kid. And I read this adaptation and I cried. I'm like a grown man crying. It still is such a beautiful story of friendship that really is. It's conditional and unconditional in a lot of ways, this friendship between Wilbur and Charlotte. It's also just a beautiful introduction to teach kids about not only the nature of friendship, but death and dealing with loss. So we're really excited to bring that back. A lot of our teachers that participate in our Cardinal for Schools program, where we introduce students to live theater, they've been clamoring for that to come back, so we're excited about that. And then in the spring, in May of 2020, we'll be doing a production of The Stinky Cheese Man
Other
Fairly Stupid Tales. this is based on another children's book. I think it was published in the early 90s. One of my favorites for a long time. I read it to my kids. I love reading it to them because it's something that I really enjoy reading because it's so ridiculous. They're just riffs on these old classic fairy tales. So instead of the gingerbread man, it's the stinky cheese man, and no one wants to chase after the guy because he's a stinky block of cheese. And then instead of like the princess and the pea, it's the princess and the bowling ball. I think it's really great. It's going to be really fun to be able to like show these kids like, hey, you know, these stories aren't sacred, you know,
right.
you can twist them a little bit and you can make them mean something completely different. I think it's a really great way to kind of get those young creative juices flowing.
You can have fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, fun with story.
Last fall, big news.
Mm-hmm.
The National Theater Company grant, $10,000.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Well, that grant is something that was introduced 10 years ago by the American Theater Wing, which is,
right.
A lot of people might not know this, but that's the organization that operates the Tony Awards every year. So they own the Tony Awards, they present the Tony. So they've been a highly esteemed theatrical advocacy organization for generations now. And they started this National Theater Company Award, it was about 10 years ago, I believe, to honor those new young theaters across the country that were really doing innovative and engaging work in bringing professional regional theater to their communities. And so while it's not a huge award in terms of the dollar amount, the recognition that it provided us was amazing. We were the first theater in Indiana to receive this award. So that was a big deal in and of itself. But they only give 4 awards away to new theater companies every year, theaters that have yet to receive an award in the past, and over 100 applicants for this award. So that was a big deal. I think it really was the first time I think we sat back and said, yeah, what we're doing here not only matters locally, but it matters nationally. Like we can absolutely produce work here that I think continues to set the tone for the industry nationally.
And people in, say, Boise, Idaho then
exactly.
can now hear about Bloomington, Indiana, and the Cardinal Stage Company.
Exactly.
So national recognition.
And I had so many of my theater friends, you know, from around the country when that award was announced say, like, hey, way to go. You know, like it was, they stood up and paid notice for the first time, I think, what we're trying to accomplish here in Bloomington with the performing arts community here. And, you know, when I went to accept the award, I got to talk to a lot of the other administrators that were also part of the theater companies that were awarded that year. And I realized, like, what we have here is really, really special. Like, you know, none of the other theaters that were awarded have a robust theater for young audiences program that engages with its local school system in a really meaningful way. You know, none of them have the type of corporate support that we receive from our business community here that said, like, hey, this is something that we want to exist and that we know provides a value to our community. We're seeing a significant return on our investment when we give to Cardinal Stage or to Lotus or to all these other arts organizations. You know, I'm really proud that we live in an environment like that that's so supportive.
Bloomington, Indiana.
Heck yeah.
That was Gabe Glodin speaking with Big Talk's Michael Glab. Full episodes of Big Talk air Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. right here on WFHB.
Support for WFHB comes from Lauren Wood Builders. Lauren Wood Builders is a family-owned company that sources local materials and local craftsmen to minimize environmental impact and sustain community. More information is available online at laurenwoodbuilders.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring audio profiles of local volunteers who stand up for what they believe in, spark change, and create meaningful impact in our community. We invite you to get to know some of these volunteers through their inspiring stories of service.
Hi, I'm Kathy Pratt, and I volunteer with Bloomington Meals on Wheels. I have been volunteering there for 20 years, actually, and I've been on the board of directors for the last six. I originally got involved because my neighbor, who had been doing Meals on Wheels since about the beginning in the 70s, needed a new person to go with her on her route. And she thought it would be fun and that we would do it once a month. And so I got involved sort of just because she asked and because it sounded like a nice service and not overwhelming. And we've been doing it together for all this 20 years and enjoying it very much. And I've come to really appreciate the organization because it's extremely well organized. And originally it was all volunteer and all of the clients paid for their own meals. We deliver a hot meal at lunchtime and then a sack lunch along with that that's intended as a dinner meal. It's been inspiring to me because you can really see the need of the community. Over the years, we have received enough donations that we can provide meals to people who cannot afford to pay. And now we also have Medicaid waiver clients who do not have to pay. It's paid through Medicaid. And about half of our clients, we have 84 total clients, are free or Medicaid paid. So it's wonderful to have that support of the community and through grants that we can provide both meals to those who can pay and those who can't. One of our clients, because he was able to get a specialized meal, we're the only agency that delivers food to the home that can provide a special meal like a low sodium or diabetic meal. And one of the clients on my route was actually able to improve his health so much that he needed less medication and lost weight because he was receiving the proper amount and the proper nutrition. So that was a visible difference, and it was a joy to see him so happy that he was doing so much better health-wise. I think most of us that volunteer, you're feeling good about what you're doing. And I think that is pretty much of a universal thing about volunteer work that is recommended by everyone. It's good to get a little focus off of yourself and focus on someone else. And it also just, for me, it reinforces, I know how blessed I am to be healthy and able to cook and grocery shop for myself. And sometimes those things can become tedious. But when you see, you know, what it could be like if you weren't able to get out or cook or were too feeble or injured or ill, then you appreciate your own good health a little bit more. So given that I do it once a month, I don't see these people, you know, every day, but definitely there's people that remember us. I certainly remember them. And it's just nice to check in. In fact, that's one of the things that we like to think that every day when we are there, we're some human interaction. Some of these people may not see anyone else all day besides their Meals on Wheels delivery person. And so it's great for them to have that human interaction, which is another critical thing in everyone's life to maintain a healthy psyche as well as a healthy tummy. Thank you for listening. My name is Kathy Pratt, and I volunteer with Bloomington Meals on Wheels.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to inspire, engage, and connect individuals to their community. Listen to episodes of Activate online at WFHB.org. You can read more about the profile, see photos, and connect to featured organizations and causes. And visit BloomingtonVolunteerNetwork.org to discover even more opportunities to serve, give, and advocate. Get inspired. Inspire others. Activate in your community. For WFHB Community Radio and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Michael Glab.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is executive producer Wes Martin. Our theme music is provided by Ben Lumsdaine, Scott Schmadeke, and Danny Graff. For WFHB, I'm Erin Wagermiller.
And I'm Kim Hahn. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming, online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news at WFHB.org.
Stay tuned for Kite Line, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. Coming up next on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@WFHB.org. You can become a Daily Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at WFHB.org and catch live broadcast of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.